this band a hand real quick, if you would. Does anybody want to stand up and just tell what God has done for them this week? Just to take a second before we get into the message, just to say, I love the Lord. Anybody? Kids, grown-ups, anyone?
God is good.
God is good. Amen. Anybody else?
I can walk with no pain.
Amen. You hear that? Come on, let's give God a hand. One more person.
Can I speak for Paul?
Yes. Just a true miracle. Amen. Divine intervention. Okay. Amen. Well, I'm not going to take much of your time today. Let's bow our heads, if you would, one more time as we get ready to go into the sermon. Father, I'm asking for your help today, Lord. Father, I'm just a mouthpiece. So, Father, I ask you to use me to speak to who, or maybe everybody here today. And Father, I just ask you to search our hearts. You see who is lost and undone. You see who needs your touch. Father, you see whose mind is a wreck right now. You see whose life is in shambles. You see who's just existing today. So Father, I pray, Lord, as I bring the word this morning, as I speak to your people, Lord, that you will start to stir up some stuff, Lord. A seed be planted. And your Holy Spirit will break every chain that's on our lives this morning. So, Father, just anoint my lips to speak your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to talk on a small subject here that we all need help with, okay? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And this is what it says right here. We'll read it off the screen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now what I got right here is love, joy, peace. Listen, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, if I was to ask you real quick, okay, what is your weakness out of these fruits of the Spirit? Think about this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, just a quick show of hands. You don't have to, but I'm going to read these out from my paper, and you tell me what your weakness is. Love? Is it hard loving people? Joy? Peace? Patience, yikes, kindness. I'm reading some of y'all's minds, and some of y'all are saying, some of y'all need to be raising your hand on kindness. Okay, goodness, faithfulness. Okay, faithfulness, okay. You know, there's no wrong answer, but guess what my topic is on today? Patience. Everybody raised their hand basically on patience. Now, not everybody has a problem with patience, but we are living in a society where let me just tell you this right here. Patience, of course, is a fruit of the Spirit, a fruit that only grows and develops under trial. Y'all get that? We're not going to get patience today if we don't have it right now. We're not going to get patience tomorrow. We're not going to have patience next week. It comes by trial, by being under fire. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say here is if there's something that you don't like, somebody you don't like, you say you're sitting in with somebody and you're eating with them at the table, and they're smacking, and they're slurping, and they're talking with their mouth open, and they're just spitting all over you, that just gets on your nerves. That tests your patience, doesn't it? Now, how do we get over that? Now, as we get older, our patience, we kind of tend to run from it. Because we'll say, I'm just not going to go near that person so my patience won't get tested. Right? I just won't be in the same room. I'm not going to sit by that joker right there spitting all over me when he talks. But you have to, in order to gain patience, you got to face the problem head on. You got to march right up there, sit right next to that person, let them spit all over you, and just keep going a little further and say, well, I'm going to spend 5 minutes next to them, and then next time 7 minutes. Next thing you know, you're laughing at what they're doing. Patience comes over time. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you say, if you're not patient, then something's wrong. Why do you say that, Michael? Because the Bible says that is a fruit of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, we're supposed to have patience. Look at somebody and say, uh-oh, I just learned something. Okay? Now, for another example. Nothing, and this is for all you cookers out there, nothing instant is near as good as something that's been thoroughly cooked. Am I right? Take instant grits. When you eat instant grits, you can taste the instant. See, I just learned something else, didn't you? You're going to start tasting it now. Instant mashed potatoes. Man, when you make those instant mashed potatoes when you're hungry and you cover them with cheese and ranch and gravy and bacon bits, it's good then. But if, but you can actually taste the instant. Okay? But let's take real potatoes for a second. You take your time and you cook the potatoes thoroughly. You mash them, then you milk them. And then you spice them how you want them, then you blend them again. And then at the end, when they're all smooth and creamy and warm, and you pepper them, and then you throw that big old half a chunk of butter in it, boom! And you see that butter? Boy, you can taste the goodness in it, right? Okay? I remember my mom cooked, listen to me now, listen to me closely. Now, I'm not insinuating nothing. Okay, ladies? My mom cooked 3 meals a day, every day, okay? Breakfast, when she got through with breakfast, she was working on lunch. When she got through with lunch, she was working on supper. And we had a bean every day, some type of bean. And what she would do is start in the morning and take those packed beans and put them in the little drainer. Oh, not the drainer, I'm sorry. Put them in water so they would puff on out, okay? And then about 12 o'clock after lunch, she would put them in the crock pot. Pressure cooker. We didn't have a crock pot. Who remembers a pressure cooker? Okay. She would put them in the pressure cooker, and it would cook all day until supper time. And when she unveiled those beans... You ever seen something on TV when it goes, oh, and there's a gold light comes out of it? That's what it looked like. She undone those beans and, oh. Okay? But those beans, I'm telling y'all, she could take a can of spaghetti and meatballs that I love. I could throw them in there and cook them in 2 seconds. She'd take 30 minutes to cook them things. Just let them simmer. She'd make a can of those, Scott, taste like it was homemade. Okay? Because it was patiently done. Now, I'm going to get to a point here in just a second, okay? Because our patience in society, y'all get ready, are being tested daily. And I mean daily. We have the rise of social media, which is fueled, and I mean fueled, with aggravation. Y'all aggravated right now. I've never seen so many people worried about other people in my life. If you look back over time, you got people that are geniuses. All right, listen to me now. Okay? I don't expect to get too many amens. But you got people that are geniuses on looking and fixing other people's problems and being nosy, but their own house is in a mess. Amen? We've got gurus for other people. Am I right? They're gurus about other people's problems, but you look inside their own house and they're a mess. It's aggravation. It's all over us, isn't it? We got people politically that just get all over us. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They push our buttons. They push our buttons. And we know it, and we still get mad. It's just like somebody, if you said, it's kind of like clocking in every day for work. You know you got to clock in, but you still get mad every morning you wake up and go clock in. It's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. And you know it's coming. Okay? We're impatient at restaurants. Think about the last time you was at a restaurant. We're impatient at drive-thrus, in lines, when we're standing in lines. We're impatient with our spouses. I was expecting big amen. We're impatient with our kids. Let's be honest now. We're impatient, period. We're impatient at everywhere we go, we're so irritated, we're so mad that we don't know what to do. We're just mad. But the Bible tells us that we are supposed to be patient. Okay, I'm finna read a couple scriptures to get us down to earth here. Psalms 37:7. This is what it says. I'm going to read it from mine. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait, what? Patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Doesn't it always seem when you're looking through the other side to the other side that the person that's doing the most scheming is the one that's doing the most winning? Doesn't it always seem that way? But the Bible tells us right here to be still, wait patiently for Him to act in your situation. Don't worry about evil people and their schemes. You're talking about impatient. Everybody's been a part of this. Go to the ballpark. Go to the ballpark and watch a baseball game. Go to the ballpark and watch a football game. Go to a ballpark and watch a father watch his son, or his son on the football field, or a coach with an umpire. We're talking about impatience today. We have made it way bigger than what it is. Now, but the Bible tells us if you will keep your heart pure, He will act on your situation. You might be in a situation right now where you're so impatient. You're so impatient with the answer from God. You've been praying about a situation. You've been talking to God, and you're just so frustrated. But look at the scripture. It says, wait patiently, and He will act upon your situation. Don't worry about the evil schemes of other people, because the evil schemes of other people, I promise you, you will see the fall. Amen? In Proverbs 15:18, this is what it says. Listen to this one now. Tempers cause arguments, but patience, y'all see the word patience, it's different wording up there, but patience brings peace. Tempers cause arguments, but patience brings peace. Now how many times have we been faced with the situation where we have an option to say something stupid or not. And we always take the road of saying something stupid. And what happens when we say something stupid? The child told us. Okay? Nothing good ever comes of it. Let's go to the next one. Romans 12:12. Let hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Okay? This life is full of troubles. We're living in a troubled world. We see troubled people. Some of us are troubled people. But it says be patient and stay prayed up. Now let me ask you a real question. This is getting down to business. You don't have to answer. I want you to think about it. When is the last time that you prayed? Besides this morning when we came in. Think about it. Don't answer me. I'm just asking. I want you to let that marinate for a second. Did you pray yesterday? Did you pray last night? Did you pray Friday? Did you pray Monday, last Monday? Did you pray Tuesday? Has it been a week since you prayed? Has it been 2 days? If you're going to form a relationship with God, you're going to have to pray. The person sit beside you, if you ignored that person for a week, your relationship would just be flushed down the toilet. You would have to reintroduce yourself every time. So in order to stay close to God, in order to gain the patience that we need, we're going to have to turn our life, turn our hearts, and turn our demeanor completely over to God. Because if we tell God, Lord, I want you to test me, trust me, a test is coming. How many in here has ever been tested? Everybody. How many in here has ever failed? Everybody. I mean, he's passed. We've passed something, we lost something. But we've got to get to where the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is patient. We have got to set back, be slow to anger, not quick with our tongue, not quick with our mouth, because the tongue gets us in trouble more than anything else there is. If you can look back over your life and see how many times your tongue has got you in trouble, you have a whole different life. Amen? Okay? Now, I want to show a quick picture real quick. You might not can see that if I can find my phone. I got it. I'm going to read it as you're looking at it. This is something I came across last night. And this is what this is saying. Alright? Some people are child lovers. Get over it. Okay, just listen. Love has no age. This is the one on this side over here, top right. And it says, both are minority sexual orientation groups with a history of discrimination. We are committed to the fight for rights. And it's called, if I say it right, pedosexuality. Okay? This one down here on the bottom left says the brand new symbol for pedosexuality. Say hello to a new age of progress. Now the bottom right down here, it says, I'm honestly happy that the LGBT Foundation is finally speaking out for pedosexual right. Now as you can see, there's a child on the end right here. Not only are people fighting for woman and woman, man and man, born a man, supposedly a woman, you know that old gibberish. But now they're saying, if you can see the top right up here, that's somebody holding a child, claiming that they're in love with this child. Not in love as me and you love our child. Okay? This is a new sexuality that we're facing in society today. Not only are we facing all the things that we go through in life, and such as bills and work and raising our kids, but we're facing idiots. We're facing people that are literally trying to hurt us, literally trying to kill us, literally trying to take our traffic our children. Now we got dummies talking about it's okay, and I can be a grown person and fall in love with your child. How stupid can you get? Now, does that test your patience or what? Now we got a problem. Because the most patient man in the world killed somebody over that. Let's just be honest. This is what we're facing today. So let me tell you something. Let me break a little news to you. Here's an alarm that's sounding. Just being a Christian does not erase all the problems. You're not going to give your life to Christ and then, boom, there you go. You take off to the mountain somewhere and have a good time. Life is still going to face us head on. It don't erase all your problems. We're facing this stuff right now. Why do you think the Bible tells us we have to be patient? Because God knows what's going on. Think about somebody. You know, I think about it all the time because, you know, it's gotten to where the truth can't even be told no more. If you walk in a room, I ain't talking about just church, but it is church, but if you walk in a room right now and say something basic that's true, boy, you are the minority. You're going to get in trouble. You can't say it. You've offended most people in that room. That's the society we're living in right now. We have got pulpits where you walk in a church that a preacher is not going to be able to tell the truth because they're scared to run the congregation off. Amen? But if it's the Word of God, I can tell you, you better not back down from it. It don't matter if one person's going to hear it or 1,000 people. If it's the Word of God, we are to endure it and stand on it. I think about this all the time. I say, man, what if some dummy walked into the bathroom with my sons or somebody? You know, mine are getting a little old enough now they can kind of run or defend themselves. But I'm thinking 5 years ago, like Rooster and Coop and Ashley, what if some dummy walks in and pretends that, you know, that they're a, yes, I'm trying to be nice here. How are you going to feel? Right there at that moment, your patience are going to be tested. Guess what? They made it legal, so it's right in their dumb eyes. We've got to let God deal with our hearts. Because we're living in a society where we're in the minority big time. We're in trouble. When I say in trouble, when it comes to the truth, we're the only ones. We're the only ones that can stop it. We're the only ones that can stand. Don't be a yellow-belly Christian. Don't back down from the truth. Because guess what's at stake? Everything. Your children, your homes, your jobs, your marriages, everything is at stake here. We've got to learn patience. Know when to speak. Slow to anger, rich in love. That's the word. Amen? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just want that verse right there for a second. Because this is where we're at. It says, Be sure of this. This know also. I'm reading from mine. Hard times will, talking about the end days. In the last days, hard times, perilous times will come. Today is hard times. We're living in tough times today. You would be crazy to walk out into the world and walk out into society and say this is easy living. If you can just watch TV for 10 minutes, you will know we're in trouble. This world is in trouble. We are living in hard, perilous times, and it's testing our patience. Amen? 2 Timothy, let's read verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, isn't it? Fierce, despisers of those that are good. I want to stop right there for a second. Verse 3, 1 of it says, they will not love anything that is good. We got people that anything that is good, anything that is true, they're going to hate you for it. They don't want to hear it. You ever seen your kid when you try to tell them something they don't want to hear? That's nothing new, right? That's the way people are in society today. If you walk up to a person, if you get in a conversation, and you try to tell them something, they don't want to hear it. If you try to tell them the Word of God, if you try to tell them what's right and what's wrong, they don't want to hear it. You face it every day. You see it every day. In a man's eyes, his ways are good. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So we need to learn not to be that person. Let's flip it. Are we the person that don't want to hear what nobody says? Are we the type of person that says, nope, I don't want to hear it. I got it. I can do it. Forget it. I don't want to hear what you got to say. We all have that part in us. We have got to learn to hear the truth. The truth what? Hurts. It hurts. It sets you free. It hurts at first, just like a surgery. If they was to go in and operate on your knee, it's gonna hurt. When you get out of that surgery, man, you are hurting. But they fixed the problem, and soon it will heal up and it'll be better than it was. Now, if you avoided that surgery, you could get by, but sooner or later, your leg's not going to work right because you didn't want to face the truth. Does that make sense today? Verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, listen to this. Love, my version says they, in the last days people are going to love fun. I'm going to say this slow. Let it sink in. Okay, just looking at my notes. Russell, that sheet's done. Okay, that one's done. Okay. Brantley, you picked that up after service. Okay. Love fun more than love God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Fix to make a bold statement, but I'm backed by the Word of God. If we look at society today, and it just don't come up in your spirit for no reason. You see it happening. If the Word's telling you it's happening and you see it happening, then there's no mistake, right? But if you take a look at society today, everybody is wanting to do something for themselves constantly. Everybody's wanting to do something fun. We have blown everything out of proportion. I'm talking to myself. Think about ball, what we've done to ball. Football, baseball, basketball. It's become so big that churches are nearly out of business. When I played baseball football and basketball back whenever it was, 30 years ago, Joe, you can remember, there was not an inkling of a word whispered ball on Wednesday night or Sundays. It would never even be talked about. And if it did, we were all out. We're not coming. We're not. You know, back then you said, as a kid you want to. But you said, no, my mom said we couldn't. We go to church on Sunday. But now, we might as well have church on Mondays so people can play ball on Sundays. I'm just telling the truth. I included myself. Look what we've done. Look at vacations. Every time you look up, people are every week. Boom, boom. When I grew up, and I know y'all, some of y'all understand what I'm saying, my dad took us on one vacation a year. We went to Panama City for 3 or 4 days, came back, and that was it. Now people live on vacation. And you know what I pertain that to? Their mind is not settled. Their mind is not in the right place. Their heart is not where it needs to be. Because if their heart was in the right place, they wouldn't be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the scripture, folks. It's not me. I wish I could stand up here and tell you something different, but these are the times that we live in. This is where we're at. This is true. This is right. This is real. Now, am I saying ball's wrong? No. Am I saying if you went and played on Sunday? No, you're not going to hear me say it. If you go on vacation, it's wrong? No, you got me all wrong now. But you understand where I'm coming from. Don't go say I said you're going to hell for playing ball or going on a vacation. That's not true, and that's not what I'm saying. But we have made it that. And the Bible strictly tells us in the last days we will be lovers of fun and pleasures more than lovers of God. There are people that's all they do, and they're churchgoers. They're excited about playing ball on Sundays and never going to church. And hey man, this is just part of being a youth. That's not right. Where is ball going to lead us? Where is vacation going to lead us? Where is football going to lead us? Where is basketball? Where is pleasures? Where are games? Where is all that going to lead us? Tell me. Tell me. Somebody tell me. Nowhere. It's okay having fun, but when you put it before God, yes, it's wrong. Amen? My last scripture, and I'm ended. Patience. We've got to have patience. My favorite one, Michelle. I meant to ask you before I put it up, but I slipped my mind. My favorite verse in the Bible, because it pertains to people that are struggling and just hold on. The Bible tells us in Matthew right here, but he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, endure means to be what? Patient. You have to endure and be patient. Endure the troubles of this life. Endure the frustration. Endure the anger. Endure the jealousy. Endure the dislike. Endure the bitterness. Endure the hurt that you're going through. Endure the past that you've came out of. Endure everything that's been going on in your life. And those who endure to the end, those are the ones that are going to be saved. Endure means not to give in. We can't give in to this junk. We can't give in to the temptations that are facing us in today's society. We cannot be like other people in this world. The Bible tells us only few are going to make it. And broad is the way to destruction, few to life, and only few are going to find it. That's a mouthful. So my final statement today before as we end is the ones that endure to the end. The same, you know, I've created a scenario. I remember when I was a teenager in church, I said to myself many nights, I said, man, I wish I could just live in church. We'd have a Sunday night service, and of course it was a Pentecostal church of God, and we were still having church 10:30, 11 o'clock at night sometimes, wouldn't you, Rita? Remember? And I remember sitting there thinking a lot of nights, man, I wish I could just stay here and not go out into the world. Wish I didn't have to go to school tomorrow. Wish I could stay right here. But guess what? We can't. We have to go out into this world. We have to face reality. We have to live in this world. The Bible tells us we're in it, but we don't have, we're up not to be of the world. We're in the world, but don't be of the world. So sometimes I sit around and think, man, I wish I didn't have to go out and face some things. Man, I wish I didn't have to go see that. I wish I didn't have to go get involved in this. I wish I could just, wouldn't it be easy just to sit where you're at right there and just be protected, Scott? And just, everything would be perfect. But I got some breaking news. We can't. So guess what? We got to be patient and we have to endure. Endure means a lot. That's a big statement. That's a big word. We're going to endure. We're going to have to endure a lot of things. Embarrassment, humiliation. This is part of it. Joe, have you ever been humiliated? Humiliated and embarrassed? It's tough, ain't it? We've got to face it. But we must endure it. So we need to pray for patience this morning. Because if I ask everybody in here, the truth is, we all need patience. Especially when you go, when you leave here, and you flip your phone, and you hit that little app with the white elf and the blue background, and you look at all the posts that are just so frustrating. And you see pictures of frustration, and then you start thinking, you know, what's so funny is funny to me is, you know, people are on the edge because every post they think it's about them. That's what's funny. They're already on the edge. If I see a post, but if somebody's on the edge already and you're just at your end of your rope, you see a post, I know she's talking about me. I know he wrote that about me. I'm fixing to inbox him right now. Come on, man. Let's get real in here. Some of y'all have even really inboxed him. Oh, me. You've let it get to you. You see what I mean? Facebook's not bad. We let it get to us. Right? That's what I'm saying. We have got to be patient. And endure. Don't let things of this world close in on you. Walk in the fruits of the Spirit, and the Lord will protect you. I've walked into a room, happy as can be, stayed there a couple hours, walked out, and never even knew anything was going on in that room because I believe the Lord was protecting me from things that was going on. But come to find out later, the whole room was full of junk. And everybody was arguing. Everybody was fighting. It was just full of stuff. And I didn't even know it. That was the protection of the Lord. So you can be in that same place. But we got to get there. We can't be on edge and say to ourselves, I hope they say something today. You're already down in your stance and you're saying, I hope they say something because I got them. I got them today. See, we're already ready. Instead of saying, man, whatever they say don't make a hill of beans to me. It's not controlling my life. And if they're trying to cause confusion, trying to cause strife, and it's not of God anyway, let it go. Quit trying to be God. And finding out everything and finding the answers. God will reveal it and He will take you where you're at in your own situation. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning. Your word is clear. And Father, if we want to be like you this morning, it's a must. It's a fruit of the Spirit that we gain patience. And Lord, we understand we'll have to go through some things that it's not just going to happen. So Father, we're asking for your help this morning. Help us walk through some doors that we've avoided for a long time. Help us go to some people, maybe get some forgiveness that we've been avoiding. Maybe that person is so annoying to us, Father, is the one who we need to be hooked up with. Well, Lord, give us the patience. Father, your word has spoke to us this morning. We need to, as your word says, to endure to the end. We've got a lot to face in this world, in this life. As long as we're living, we have got a lot to face. So, Father, we need your help this morning to be patient and to endure. Father, help us not to be lovers of anything else except you. And you will guide us. You will show us. You will order our steps. Help us to focus on one thing, and that's you. And our lives will fall into place, Lord. You will guide and lead us where you want us to go. And Father, I'm praying this morning, if somebody doesn't know you, you've spoke to them. You've spoken to some hearts today, Lord. I know you have, because it's your word. And your word never returns void. So Father, as I give this altar call, I pray, Lord, that somebody, just one, will meet you today. Right here at this altar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand on our feet this morning as Brother Todd plays.